Welcome to the Red Zone.
The Red Zone.
With Soren Petro. An exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com. For the next 60 minutes, this is your in-depth, inside look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, here's your host, Soren Petro.
Good afternoon and welcome. You're in the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on Christmas Eve for the football fan, certainly for the draft Knicks, as we are just one night away. If you're catching us later on in the week and the draft has already happened, remember we are live in the Red Zone each and every Wednesday, 3 p.m. in the Central Time Zone is when you can find us. Be a part of the chat room, the discussions, questions, comments, thoughts of the Chiefs Kingdom going on right here live. In the Red Zone each and every Wednesday at 3 o'clock. And as we said, very busy. We'll talk NFL draft. We'll wrap up our final three positions with Wes Bunting, Director of College Scouting for NationalFootballPost.com. We break down outside linebackers, tight ends, and kickers in this draft. We won't spend long on the kickers because the Chiefs have an outstanding kicking game right now as they head into this draft. But we will look at the tight ends. We will look at the outside linebackers. Also, a little bit later on, we'll talk with Ryan Lilja, one of the newest members of the Kansas City Chiefs. Something old, something new. Former Chief, now current Chief, Ryan Lilja. Will join us here in the Red Zone a little bit later on. And, of course, we will talk a little bit about the history of first-rounders with Scott Pioli as the Chiefs have the number 5 pick in tomorrow's NFL draft. If they do indeed end up with that selection, trades, Scott Pioli saying last week, we are open for business. So the Chiefs, like virtually every team in the NFL, will listen to possible trade offers. We'll see if anything ends up coming to fruition along those lines. But we start with the Chiefs schedule. The NFL schedule was released yesterday, Tuesday evening, and the Chiefs schedule is out, and they will be a part of the opening weekend Monday Night Football. Two games on Monday Night Football for the last several years. The Chiefs will be the second of the two. The debut of the new Arrowhead will come on Monday, September 13th, with a 9:15 game against the San Diego Chargers. A great way to begin the season as they open in prime time on Monday Night Football, the return of Monday Night Football for the Kansas City Chiefs, and a fantastic game and a chance to get the season started against the defending division champs. You get them at home. You get them in an electric atmosphere. Oh, if the Chiefs can get a victory against the San Diego Chargers in Arrowhead, how the season could go their way. Let's break the schedule down by quarters. They do open with the Chargers, who thumped them soundly when they came to Kansas City last year. This figures to be a different Chiefs team, as it was a different Chiefs team later in the year than the one that lost to the Chargers, and an entire offseason of additions and upgrades for the Chiefs. The Chargers losing some talent via free agency. They open at Arrowhead Stadium against the Chiefs 9:15 on Monday, September 13th. After that, the Chiefs go on the road against the Cleveland Browns, then come home in week 3 versus the San Francisco 49ers. Take a week off in week 4, so the bye week coming very early for the Kansas City Chiefs. Week 4, their bye week, and then week 5, their fourth game, the end of the first quarter for the Chiefs, as Todd Haley likes to look at it. It comes against the Indianapolis Colts on the road at Indy. Super Bowl AFC champion, Super Bowl loser, a defending AFC champion Indianapolis Colts on Sunday, October 10th. So again, Chargers at home, at Browns, home for the 49ers, and at the Colts. I think the good thing about this schedule is with the Chargers at home, a game against a rebuilding Browns team that played good football, clearly came in here to Arrowhead and won at Arrowhead, played very well for them down the stretch. We'll see what that game ends up being, but a game that you would think the Chiefs would be in, there's the possibility there for the Chiefs to start 3-0. There's the possibility there for them to start 1-2, 0-3, whatever combination you want. But I think you got to like how that schedule starts, and you want to make as much progress before that bye week, because the game at Indianapolis will be a very difficult one. The Colts have won 12 games or more every year since the beginning of time, it seems like right now, with Peyton Manning. So you're going to want to make as much hay as you can in those first three games, home versus the Chargers, at the Browns, and home versus the 49ers. Is going to be very important for the Chiefs to get off to a good start. Got to take at least 2 out of 3 there before going to the Colts to wrap up the first quarter of the season. Second quarter, at the Texans, home for the Jaguars, home for the Bills, and at the Raiders. I think another portion of the schedule where you can do some damage at Houston, I think, is going to be very difficult. I think the Texans have been on the rise here for a couple of years. They're primed for a breakout year, but to this point, they have not been a dominant team. So a game that either will be winnable or very tough. Jaguars and Bills at home. You got to always feel good at Arrowhead. And the Jags going through their trials and tribulations last year. The Bills in a rebuild mode. And then finishing up at Oakland, who has been rebuilding for a number of years as well. That part of the schedule, if you can handle business at home, handle business at Oakland, you've got a chance to come away from there 3 out of 4. And that may be an important stretch for the Chiefs to try to get 3 out of 4 in there because I'll tell you, as you look beyond it, well, we'll come back to it. We'll talk about what is the toughest part of the Chiefs' schedule, but we'll break it down by quarters first. But a chance, I think a real chance there to take 3 out of 4 at Houston, home for Jacksonville, home for Buffalo, at the Raiders. Next quarter, third quarter, at Denver. Always a tough place to play for the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Cardinals. So here at Arrowhead, at Seattle, and then versus the Denver Broncos. So they've got the Broncos twice in the third quarter. They'll go to their place, host the Cardinals, go to the Seahawks, and host the Denver Broncos. Denver finished up 8-8. They were 6-0 to start, 2-8 to finish. Routed the Chiefs in one game and got routed by the Chiefs in the other. You know, if you figure a split there in a tough divisional series, got to take care of business at home against the Cardinals or steal one against Arizona or steal one at Seattle. This, to me, is the most difficult quarter of the schedule because you've got a Cardinal team that's been in the playoffs for 2 years, a Seahawk team, granted on the rebuild, but you go to their place, and then the home and home with the Denver Broncos. That's the toughest quarter. We'll get into a longer stretch of the season that I think could be difficult. But that quarter, to me, third quarter is going to be the tough one. You want to make as much progress in quarters 1 and 2 before you get to the third quarter. And then the fourth quarter, two road games at the Chargers, at the Rams, home for the Titans, home for the Raiders. You got to go to San Diego, very difficult game to play. Go to the Rams, a team that's had even more struggles than the Chiefs have over the last 3 years. Then host the Titans and host the Raiders to finish. Again, really need to take care of business at Arrowhead Stadium. That Titan game is going to be a very difficult one here. They figure to be a team under Jeff Fisher, always very tough, and really got things going after a difficult start last year and played a lot better football. At the Rams, a winnable game, it would seem on paper, and home for the Raiders, you got to feel like you ought to win that football game. I think this is a schedule that is primed for the Chiefs to go 8-8, and it certainly leaves the possibilities for 9-7, 10-6, and maybe even 11-5. We'll see how injuries go, how the ball bounces, but I think the Chiefs have got to like how this schedule lays out. I think you make progress early and you finish strong. Two home games. You've got to feel good that going into those last two games, if you're in striking distance of the playoffs, if hopefully you hold your destiny in your own hand and you can know that, look, if I just win at my place, if I just win at Arrowhead Stadium, I'm going to the playoffs. Hopefully that will embolden the team to go out and play great football against the Titans and Raiders. I think the key is going to be to go into Week 16 and 17, still alive for the playoffs, and hopefully controlling your own destiny, knowing that if we win at Arrowhead, we will be in the playoffs. I think that's the mindset you want your football team to be in. So through 14 games, you really want to be in that spot. That means to me, you want to be at least 8-6 through your first 14 and have a chance to win 2 and get to 10-6. If you can be 9-5, if you can be 10-4, you are in a great position to be a playoff team in 2010 for the Kansas City Chiefs. So the beauty of it is you get a chance to start at home in prime time against a division opponent, hopefully get off to a good start, and you get a finish with 2 in a row at home. The difficult part of the schedule will be starting at Week 9 and going through Week 15, leading into those final two home games. Because in it, we broke it down by quarter, but if you take those 7 games, the Chiefs will play 5 of 7 games on the road. At the Raiders, at the Broncos, home for the Cardinals, at the Seahawks, home for the Broncos, at the Chargers, at the Rams. In addition to going on the road, you've got to go to the West Coast 3 times. You got to go to Oakland, you got to go to Seattle, and you got to go to San Diego. Those are long trips that you've got to take. I think that will be the part of the schedule that absolutely tests this football team. How do they do in those 7 games will ultimately determine whether or not this is a playoff team or not. By quarter, I think you like it. When you look at it as a whole, those 7 games are the real hill to climb for the Kansas City Chiefs. So you want to make as much progress as you can. First 7 games, weeks 1 through 8, which includes your bye week. You want to survive in advance. If you can go 3-4 in that stretch, I think you feel very good. And come home, hopefully controlling your destiny with the final two home games, at least alive for the playoffs, and you'll have a lot to play for December 26th and January 2nd, final two games of the season against the Titans and Raiders at the new Arrowhead Stadium. We'll take a break. When we come back, we continue to break down tomorrow's draft. Wes Bunting is with us, Director of College Scouting from NationalFootballPost.com.
Today's show is sponsored in part by Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster. The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left to the fullback. And a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
20. He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate, Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
With the fifth pick, the Kansas City Chiefs select...
We can't tell you yet. You're going to have to find out at the Chiefs NFL Draft Party. The NFL Draft is right around the corner and new for 2010. The draft's first round will be held in prime time Thursday night, April 22nd. The Draft Party takes place at the Chiefs Indoor Practice Facility with the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, hosting the party, giving you an inside look at each player selected along with live draft updates from New York. There'll be a special appearance by Chiefs Chairman Clark Hunt. Come get autographs and pictures of current and former Chiefs players. Get your first peek at the 2010 Chiefs cheerleaders and shake your belly with KC Wool. We'll have food and drinks available, so join us for happy hour Thursday, April 22nd. Get tickets now for the Chiefs Draft Day Party, sponsored by Miller Lite and KC Southern. Chiefs Draft Day tickets start at just $15 for adults and $10 for kids. Get yours now at kcchiefs.com or by calling 800-745-3000. The 2010 Chiefs NFL Draft Party.
It is time for a new era. With new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job, and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul. Let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com. Today's show is sponsored in part by Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster.
Welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro with you as we wrap it up our coverage of the NFL draft, or I guess I should say our previews for the NFL draft. Joining us again, the guy who's broken it all down for you throughout. And of course, if you missed any of Wes Bunting's segments, you can catch him on the archives and the podcast. He is the director of college scouting for NationalFootballPost.com. Wes, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. And we are to the tight ends, the outside linebackers, and the kicking game. The Chiefs have a tremendous punter and had all-pro caliber season for Mr. Irrelevant last year, Ryan Suckup, in their kicking game. I don't think they will be using any of these picks on kickers, but in case Anybody out there is a just a nut for every position. Is there a punter and or kicker that people should have in the back of their mind that could be a difference maker the way Ryan Succop was this year?
Wow, you guys are really asking me to scratch the bottom of the barrel here, aren't you? But Lee Tiffin is probably the top kicker that most people are looking at this year. This is a seasoned vet. I've seen a bunch of clutch kicks throughout his career. Hunter Lawrence from Texas, another guy who made a big kick against Nebraska at the end of the year to put them into the national championship game. Those are the two top kickers I would look at. And as punters, Zoltan Mesko from Michigan, Brent Bowden from Virginia Tech, and Matt Dodge from East Carolina. Those are the three guys. Could all slip somewhere into the draft. Big physical guys, 6'5", 6'3", 6'2", across the board, and can boom the ball a mile. But consistency is the key for all three.
All right, now let's get back into the real football players, although we wouldn't trade Ryan Succop for very many guys out there the way he played this past year. Let's go to the tight end position. I think this is interesting because in his days in New England, Scott Pioli invested a second-rounder in Daniel Graham, a first-rounder in Ben Watson. Tight end is absolutely a need position for the Kansas City Chiefs. The class overall, how do you see this this class of tight ends?
Well, I got good news for you because this is a phenomenal class. There's, I don't think, any elite talent in this year's class. There's some solid talent towards the top end and a ton of depth. I mean, you can go into the fourth, fifth round range looking at guys like Andrew Corliss, Derek Graham, Tony Moyaki, guys who could end up starting for you potentially down the line, given the scenario. It's a really talented class.
So many teams are going to the spread offense, which eliminates the tight end. How is it such a talented class?
You know, well, more often than not, you know, they recruit these tight ends and they pretty much make them glorified big wideouts. They split them out, play them as off-the-line wise. Jermaine Gresham did it at Oklahoma. Aaron Hernandez did it at Florida. And so it's rare to actually come across a guy like Anthony McCoy from Southern Cal that actually plays with his hand down the line.
Is that the biggest question mark that's out there for these teams, is how the guy's going to play in line, how his blocking's going to work out?
Yeah, I think so. But the tight end positions become so specialized in the NFL because it is two positions now. You have your blocker and you have your receiver. So if you do find a guy like a Rob Gronkowski from Arizona or Tony Moyaki, a guy that can beat you in both the run and pass game, it makes their value even more.
All right.
On draft day.
All right, is there a guy? I don't think there figures to be a guy at number five, a tight end that warrants a pick that high. What is, let's just take it from this way, who's the number one tight end, and what's the highest you could see him going?
Well, my favorite tight end in the class is Aaron Hernandez from Florida. This guy reminds me a lot of a Chris Cooley, Dallas Clark type player, has the ability to consistently create mismatches in the pass game. A better blocker than given credit for, 6'3", 250, can block with leverage. But I just think this guy's going to do so well in the pass game. But I think the first tight end off the board is Jermaine Gresham from Oklahoma. Reminds me a lot of a Mercedes Lewis-type player, the Jacksonville Jaguars tight end. Isn't real explosive in and out of his breaks, lacks elite speed, 4.7 guy at the combine, but he has to make plays, adjust well to football, and then go snag it. Looks like a solid tight end in the NFL.
All right, and that's Jermaine Gresham. Who was the guy you said you loved the most?
Aaron Hernandez
from Florida, who did so many different things for the Gators. All right, let's slide down to that top of the second round. Who are the guys that you think figure into that top of the second round and even throughout the second round? Because the Chiefs have two picks in that round up at the top and then in the middle, as they have the Falcons pick as well, because of, ironically, trading a tight end, Tony Gonzalez. If that were the sweet spot for them, who are the guys that you're projecting into that spot?
Well, I think maybe if they want to go tight end with that first pick in the second round, if they keep their fingers crossed, maybe Jermaine Gresham's on the board for them there at that spot. If they don't want to go tight end, that second pick, a guy by the name of Rob Gronkowski from Arizona, 6'6", 260, runs extremely well for size, a balanced, natural receiver. Reminds me a lot of the Raiders tight end, Zach Miller. Can also block with his hand on the ground as an on-the-line wide. I think he would be an ideal fit. A tough guy who can block and also create mismatches in the pass game as well for the Chiefs with that second pick in the second round.
All right, we're talking right now with Wes Bunting, our man, from NationalFootballPost.com as we break down each and every position, wrapping up all the positions here today. Again, you can catch all of his breakdowns throughout. Just look back in the archives. Here are the red zones as we have knocked out every single position. So if you're curious about any spot, it is there. And when we get done with the positions, we'll get the latest Wes is hearing about the top few picks in this draft leading up to the Chiefs selection at number five. Let's go ahead and turn our attention to the outside linebackers. And we've talked about this with the inside backers and the DNs. Becomes a more difficult position to grade because so many DNs are stood up and made outside linebackers in the 3-4. Guys moving around. It really depends on what kind of skill set you're looking for. We're obviously going to attack it from a 3-4 outside linebacker standpoint. What's this class look like? What's the depth overall?
You know, it has some guys towards the top end that can consider in, you know, first-round potential draft picks, not five overall to the Chiefs. You're going to be looking for guys like Sergio Kindle, Koa Misi, Jason World to slide a bit in that second, third, fourth round range. But if you're going to take an outside linebacker in the first day, there's quite a few options you have to pick from.
All right. Who's at the top of your class as far as a 3-4 outside backer?
I think that has to be Brandon Graham. He's not the most explosive guy. He doesn't have the elite physical skills, only 6'2", 265 pounds. However, he's so sudden on contact, does a great job playing with leverage, getting a good punch initially on contact, and then slipping the block on the outside, dropping his shoulder, and accelerating around the edge. This guy was one of the purest pass rushers that I've seen at the Senior Bowl in the years. Makes it look so easy. I think he has more upside than the guy like Woodley that came out a couple years ago from Michigan. I think he looks like a real solid first-round pick, a guy that can get you 8 to 10 sacks a year.
I want to make sure I got this right because I was going to ask you, compare him to Woodley who came out of Michigan. You like him as a better prospect than Woodley?
Yeah, I think he's even better than Woodley.
All right, let's go with a couple of guys looking at the list here at NationalFootballPost.com. The TCU guys, Jerry Hughes, Darrell Washington, what type of upside do they have?
Well, Jerry Hughes, he might have a little more upside than Brandon Graham because of his ability, his first step, great explosion initially, does a great job changing directions at speed, dropping his pad level, uses his hands decently for a college prospect. It's something rare that you see, but I think because of that first step, might have a little more upside, might have the most potential of any rush linebacker in the draft. Darrell Washington, this is a sideline-to-sideline guy, more of a 4-3 guy, weak side linebacker. I think he had potentially could end up being an impact weak side linebacker in the NFL, but not an ideal fit for the Chiefs.
2 years ago, I saw Sergio Kindle really starting to take control of things on the field for Texas. Last year, he became their go-to guy. Brian Arakpo off to the Redskins and had a very good year, pressuring the quarterback as a stand-up outside linebacker for them. Kindle was left to his own, left to kind of out on his own instead of being on the opposite side. He'd put his hand on the ground some, got after the quarterback, got a lot of pressures, not so many sacks because I think they were able to focus on him, but really did create problems. And talking to offensive coordinators around the Big 12, they said he's the guy you got to account for first and foremost on that Texas defense. Where does he rank, and is he a guy that you see as the 3-4 outside backer?
Yeah, I think he's a 3-4 outside backer. I'm not a big fan of Kindle compared to most, though. I think he's more – you know, initially off the snap, he has a pretty good first step, can bull rush the passer if need be. However, the biggest thing I have, you need to be more of a one-trick pony in the NFL. And this is a linear athlete who lacks ideal balance and struggles to change directions and sidestep blocks when rushing the passer. I think, you know, he's a guy that needs to rely on that first step. There's no doubt he can chase plays away from his frame, a big, powerful athlete, but I just worry about him being able to keep opposing tackles off balance enough to consistently be able to get after the passer.
All right, let's talk about Sean Weatherspoon, a guy who played very well for the Missouri Tigers. A lot of people have him in the bottom of the first round. Is he a guy that fits better in a 4-3 or a 3-4, and is he better for an outside? I know he's listed here as an outside linebacker. I've heard some people project him out to a middle backer in a 4-3 or maybe even a guy that could play middle linebacker in a 3-4.
Yeah, he's a 4-3 inside or outside linebacker. I think he projects to ideally. Undersized, only 6'1". And I think, you know, he's a guy who he'll make his fair share of plays. However, inside gets washed out at the point of attack too often, misses too many tackles in space. I don't think he's the type of first-round caliber prospect a lot of people are making him out to be. I think he's more of a solid second-round guy, can be a serviceable starting linebacker in the NFL, but nothing to write home about.
All right. We're talking with Wes Bunting, Director of College Scouting for NationalFootballPost.com. Do you believe what's a better approach? I know I've seen the Patriots have success with Teddy Bruschi, who played a DN with the Arizona Wildcats and then made the move to linebacker on the outside and then even on into the inside. Easier to take, and Mike Vrabel was a DN at Ohio State who they stood up and has been an outside linebacker with the Steelers and then the Pats and now with the Chiefs. Easier to take the undersized DN and make him a linebacker, or easier to go the other way, a guy who maybe played the outside linebacker in a 3-4 in college, put his hand on the ground and make him a 4-3 DN?
I think what you're looking at here is when you talk about Bruce Green, Mike Vrabel, you're talking about elite instincts. And if you're going to take a defensive end and move him to outside linebacker, defensive end, you're asked to play the run on first, second down, and then rush the passer. But on the outside linebacker spot, you're asked to read so much more, find the football, run sideline to sideline. Instincts is key if you're going to go from defensive end to outside linebacker. That's something you can't teach. So I think it'd be much easier to move an outside linebacker, the defensive end, let him put his hand on the ground and just rush the passer more consistently. A lot less he has to read and react and worry about.
All right, I know you're working the phones and hearing all the scuttlebutt, the rumors, the information that's out there. What are we hearing about that top five? We feel good that Bradford's definitely going to go number one.
Yeah, Bradford's going one. I've heard from the Lions both things. I heard that they will take Ndamukong Suh even if they can't bring in Albert Haynesworth. I've also heard that they still want to could possibly draft Russell Okung even if they know they can't get Albert Haynesworth. So that's 50-50 right now. I heard Trent Williams, is more of an option than people are making him out to be in Washington. I still think they go Russell Okung at four, but Trent Williams is an option there. Tampa Bay, they're just happy at three to get whatever defensive tackle is left over. And the Chiefs are the real wild card. Do they go O-line? Do they go Eric Berry? That's the one that everyone's trying to figure out right now, and that they're doing a pretty good job of holding out the information.
All right, let's go back and circle in on Detroit. So they're trying to get Albert Haynesworth to play the nose in their system. Obviously, Gunther Cunningham and I'm drawing a blank on their head coach. D coordinator with the Titans for a long time.
Jim Schwartz.
Thank you. I'm sorry. They've got a great track record and history with Albert Haynesworth down there. If they can get him, that would seem to make some other spot on the field a priority. They've got a number one overall pick in Matt Stafford. They need to protect along the offensive line. So we feel pretty good. It's D-line or O-line there. You said Tampa Bay's happy with whichever D-tackle they get. If they have the option, if it is an O-tackle up there, if it's Okung to the Lions, and they have an option of Sue or McCoy, are we getting any positive vibes as to which one they would take, which guy they hold in higher regard, McCoy or Sue?
I think when Tampa Bay kind of tried to get away from more of those cover two looks, bringing in bigger, more physical defensive linemen, there's none bigger and more physical in this year's draft than a guy like Sue. I think from what I've heard, I think that's the pick overall. They want to get Sue in as quickly as possible.
All right, so that brings us, and you don't see anything but D lineman there for the Bucs?
No, I don't.
Okay, and then that takes us to four with Washington, and everyone, and this always scares me, everybody is talking about a left tackle for the Skins, that it is almost a foregone conclusion. Whoever they think the best left tackle left, they're going to take to protect the blind side of Donovan McNabb. I'm always nervous when everybody says it's definitely going to go this way, that they've just done a good job of smoke screening. And the Broncos were one of the best under Shanahan of drafting guys they didn't even interview, never looked at, didn't go to their personal workouts, and did a pretty good job of smoke screening teams when they've done it. Any chance that they've already picked up on that from Mike Shanahan, and they're throwing us all off and they could go? I mean, it makes all the sense in the world to take an O-tackle with Samuel's problems that he's had. But any chance that they've just done a great job of throwing everybody off the scent and they're circling in on something else?
No, I think with them bringing in Donovan McNabb and that huge hole they have on the left side, McNabb's getting up there in age. They have to be able to protect his blind side consistently. It's just too much of a hole, too much of a position of need, a position with significant value. And if you're going to make a splash, they only have one pick in the first three rounds or whatever it may be. You might as well take the blue chipper, the left tackle, Russell Okung, makes the most sense.
And then what's your feeling with the Chiefs at five, based on the scenarios we've laid out? Let's say they can't trade down, which I'll ask you about in a minute. Where do the Chiefs go?
I think, honestly, the Chiefs, right now I think they go offensive line because I can't see them taking a safety, honestly, to be honest, even though Eric Berry has exceptional talent, a real blue chipper. I think Trent Williams, I think Brian Beloga are the two guys that are in play there. But ideally, they'd love to trade down.
All right, and then what kind of scenario do you think we're going to get in the trades? I think a lot of people are expecting there to be a lot of deals when we get into day two and three with the extra break. Teams will be able to reset their board and attack it, that we'll see a lot of trades, a lot more trades in those later rounds. But what about round one? The one thing that I think gives us a chance to have teams be a lot more willing to deal is no salary cap. You don't have to eat cash if you're unloading a player, a huge signing bonus, and also that makes him cheaper to the team that inherits him because they've only got to pay the yearly salary and aren't on the hook for the signing bonus. And plus, there is no cap. You can go for whoever you want, pay as much money as you want. Does that indeed make the first round maybe more active, and especially up as high as the Chiefs are at number five, which only once in the last 6 or 7 years has a team moved, and it was last year with the Jets going up and getting Mark Sanchez. Traditionally, nobody's really been willing to be a trade partner on somebody wanting to move down.
No, that's the tough part. And the Chiefs, I mean, I'm looking right now at the draft order. I think possibly San Francisco, they could be in play if they have a guy targeted. Maybe they deal both their first-round picks. That would make some sense for Kansas City, as well as the Philadelphia Eagles. We know they have the absolute man crush on Eric Berry, and depending on how far the Chiefs want to go down, with all the ammo the Philadelphia Eagles have, would make a lot of sense if they wanted to move all the way up to five, I believe from 24, to go get Eric Berry.
All right, we're talking to Wes Bunting. He is the director of college scouting from NationalFootballPost.com. You can check out his work on the website. He's done a great job breaking down all the positions, and it brings us to our final four, Wes. Four quickies, and we'll start with this. Any change you'd make to the draft as to how it is right now, whether it's get away from the three-day thing, add another day, more rounds, anything you'd change to the NFL draft?
Well, I mean, the more days to watch, the better. So I'm going to give this weekend a chance. We'll see what it's like 3 days, but I can't imagine it would be a bad thing to have it go on 4 days and put the Sunday in play as well.
All right, very good. We'll put more days down. All right, give me a team that you think absolutely will be moving up in that first round.
One team, I think San Francisco. They need an offensive tackle. They have two picks in the first round. I think at some point they go up and get an offensive tackle.
All right, give me a sleeper in this draft, a guy that you think is going to be, let's say, an all-pro caliber player that nobody's thinking of in those terms right now.
Nate Allen, the safety from South Florida.
All right, very good. And I remember when we talked safeties, you talking very highly about Nate Allen at that time. All right, and now give me the flip side, a guy everyone thinks is going to be very good that in the end is going to end up being considered a bust.
Trent Williams, the offensive tackle from Oklahoma, a right tackle guy only, gives up far too much pressure on the outside, struggles to redirect, gives up the counter move and inside move too easily. He's one guy I really worry about.
All right, very good. Hey, Wes, great stuff all along. We really appreciate the time. Enjoy the draft, my friend.
Thanks a lot for having me.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels, that a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer, 120, a jet engine, that studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster, more ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Welcome to Chiefs Country, where fans like you wear their passion for their team like war paint. It's for you, Chiefs fans, that we created Chiefs Checking, with the official Chiefs debit card and discounts on Chiefs gear all year long.
Visit Metcalf Bank or ChiefsChecking.com, and for a limited time, sign up and score a Chiefs game day cooler.
Chiefs Checking, because you're not just a fan on Sunday.
Only at Metcalf Bank. Strong roots, endless possibilities. Member Central Bank Company, member FDIC. See bank for details.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365, and much more.
I'm so excited. I can barely contain myself.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs. at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at KCChiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs cheerleader squad in swimsuits shot in Red Hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at KCChiefs.com.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angle, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good. Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to KCChiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on KCChiefs.com.
Welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you. Our thanks to Wes Bunting. Did a great job breaking down the draft with us from NationalFootballPost.com. You can catch all of our previous position breakdowns with Wes by going to the archives of the podcast here at KCChiefs.com. Time now to talk a little bit about the history of first-round picks under Scott Pioli, whether it was with the New England Patriots or with the Kansas City Chiefs, and a couple of things jump out at you. He's made 10 first-round picks. Didn't have a pick in 2000, had two in 2004. One of the things that'll stand out to you is he's been very active, moving up, down, picking up picks in future rounds, rolling those into other draft picks. He has been active, and I think that's a distinct possibility tomorrow with the fifth overall pick that he'll be active and looking to perhaps move down. I think move down more than move up. So keep that in mind. And a couple of things that you can see. One, he's taken six defensive players and four offensive players with his 10 first-round picks. He's taken four defensive linemen, included in that Tyson Jackson from last year with the Chiefs. The other three defensive linemen, Richard Seymour with the sixth overall pick in 2001, Ty Warren in 2003, and Vince Wilfork in 2004. So four of his six defensive players have been D linemen, one of them a nose tackle, the other three defensive ends in the 3-4 position, although Richard Seymour and Ty Warren played D tackle in college. They have played D end in the NFL. The other two defensive positions he's taken, linebacker Jared Mayo in 2008 with the 10th overall pick, and Brandon Merriweather, a safety, with the 24th overall pick in 2007. Kind of surprising when you look at his offensive picks, four selections on the offensive side of the ball in the first round. Daniel Graham, tight end from Colorado, with pick number 21 in 2002. Ben Watson, with pick number 32 in 2004. He and Vince Wilfork in the same draft, as he got Ben Watson a little bit later on, again, with the last pick of the first round, the second offensive player that he has taken. Then you move forward to Lawrence Maroney, running back from Minnesota with the 21st overall pick in 06. And I guess I actually skipped one. Logan Mankins, the year before, pick 32 in the 2005 draft. Four offensive players, a running back, a guard slash tackle. Mankins played tackle in college and guard with the Patriots, and two tight ends. Kind of surprising. Now, what does all that mean? It means he's never taken a quarterback in the first round, never taken a wideout in the first round, never taken a center in the first round. Take your pick on what you want to call Mankins, guard or tackle. One of those positions he has never taken in the first round. And he's never taken corner or outside linebacker on the defensive side of the ball. So keep that in mind. He's taken a safety. Chiefs have a need at safety. He's taken a middle linebacker. They have a need at middle linebacker, and he's taken every position along the defensive line in a 3-4. Gives you some insight. Now, Mitch Holthus, great pieces available here at the website, kcchiefs.com. And Mitch Holthus has talked with Scott Pioli, and he said, hey, one thing you can't do is pigeonhole us. He said, you know, we're not locked into you can only take certain positions. I think that's one of the things to keep in mind. This is a great study of the history of Scott Pioli in round one, but it doesn't mean he's going to repeat that history. Every year is a different year. Circumstances change. We'll see what he ends up doing, but it is interesting to note. When he's had top 10 picks all three times, he's gone defense. He's taken six defensive players versus only four offensive players. The Chiefs' defense struggled more than the offense did, particularly in the second half of the year. Makes you lean towards defense. Unless somebody stands out on the offensive side of the ball, I would lean towards the pick at number five being a defensive player. And the other thing that's important is how he has managed the draft and manipulated picks, trading picks to get more picks in later rounds, and more picks, higher picks, in years to come. When he took Vince Wilfork, that was a result of a trade in 2003 where he had the 19th overall pick, traded out of the first round. The Baltimore Ravens felt like they had to have Kyle Bowler. They went up and got Bowler at 19. The Patriots picked up a second round in the following year's first round, which they turned into Vince Wilfork. And then the other one that's of note, Jared Mayo, the 10th overall pick in 08. They actually had number 7 in that draft because the 49ers wanted to get up and get Joe Staley. So the New England Patriots traded out of that position, picked up an extra pick that year, and then got the next year's first-round pick, which was number 7. And they weren't done there. They traded down to 10 with the Saints on draft day and picked up an extra fourth-round pick. So very busy. And I expect Scott Pioli to be very busy in this year's draft. No salary cap means that teams can unload players for draft picks and don't have to worry about signing bonuses as much as far as how they relate to the salary cap. Could make this a wide-open year for trading in the NFL draft. Couple that with two off days now, or two night sessions to review what's happened, not breaking just once in between the seven rounds, but breaking twice. First round on Thursday, second and third on Friday, before finishing up rounds 4 through 7 on Saturday. I mean, they'll get a chance to rejuggle the board, evaluate, digest, decide, is there a player we got to have? Could see a lot of action at the beginning of Friday's sessions and at the beginnings of Saturday's sessions in this draft. But interesting to look back on what Scott Pioli has done in round one of the NFL draft. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Ryan Liljia, now one of the newest Chiefs here in Kansas City, as he joins the squad via free agency. He joins us next via the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com. It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angle, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good. Ryan Succop wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
With the fifth pick, the Kansas City Chiefs select...
Find out at the Chiefs Draft Day Party. The NFL Draft is right around the corner, with the first round being held in primetime Thursday night, April 22nd. Join us at the Chiefs Indoor Practice Facility with the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, hosting the party. There'll be a special appearance by Chiefs Chairman Clark Hunt. Get autographs and pictures with current and former Chiefs players, Chiefs cheerleaders, and Casey Wolf. Chiefs Draft Day tickets start at just $15. Get them now at kcchiefs.com.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left of the fullback, and a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
Welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday. That is when we are live. If you're catching us later on the podcast or the archives, each and every Wednesday at 3 o'clock, you can be a part of the discussion. The discussion today is offensive line and Ryan Lilja, one of the newest Chiefs members, joining us here in the Red Zone right now. Ryan, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Soren, how you doing, man?
Not too bad, not too bad. How's it feel to be coming home?
It's just outstanding, man. I'm actually driving home to my house right now, just past my mom's house, the house I grew up at. So it's pretty special to be leaving work and drive past the house you grew up and be here in my old neighborhood, and it's great, man.
Now your story is one that I think almost all Chiefs fans know, and it until this year was a story of frustration. You signed with the Chiefs after college and did a very, very good job in camp. And then, of course, the Chiefs try to get you to the practice squad, and the Colts grab you, put you on their active roster. And Chiefs fans have talked about you for years, about the one that got away. And now to have you back, I know how excited Chiefs fans are to have you back. I don't want to say a goal, because you obviously had great times and great success there in Indianapolis. But in the back of your head, were you always thinking about possibly getting back to Kansas City?
Not really. You know, I never thought that would happen, especially when I signed my contract with Indy after I was there for 4 years. I thought that's probably where I would finish, and I just didn't think that was ever actually a possibility. But, you know, this business works out in funny ways, and, you know, when they cut me, I thought, you know, that was the first thing I thought about. As a matter of fact, I was here when it happened, so you know, I thought, hey, maybe this is going to happen. And then, you know, it's just funny how it works out, man.
Now you correct me if I'm wrong, but you've had a home here in Kansas City for a while. You didn't just buy a home, right?
You know what? Actually, I bought a house about 8 months ago.
Okay.
Here. There was one on the market next door to my older brother, and I figured it'd be a place. My fiance's from here as well, so I figured it'd be a place we could come in the off season and hang out with my family, and I didn't know it would be our full-time place, but it's working out.
All right, now, have you given any thought to the fact that you can come back home and be kind of anonymous, and now you're going to become a lot more recognizable here in Kansas City?
Yeah, you know what? I haven't thought about that too much, to be honest with you. I'm about 6'2", 6'2 and a half on a good day, about 295 pounds, and people don't necessarily know who I am when I walk around, and I'm cool with that. But I doubt that'll change, man. I live here next to my family and run around with the same crew, and I'm just excited to be back home, man.
All right, we're talking to Ryan Lilja, Chiefs guard here in the Red Zone. You just mentioned 6'2 and a half-ish, 295. That is a big human being compared to the average Joe walking down the streets, but it is not a big human being in the world that you ply your trade, the offensive line. How many times have you been told you're undersized for the position?
You know, since I started playing it, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, high school and wanted to play tackle, and, you know, and then junior college I was playing offensive tackle. And then once you kind of get into the, you know, Division I, Big 12, I was going to K-State, and it's, you know, your arms are short, and they measure everything at that point. And, you know, your arms are too short, or you're too short, or you need to be heavier, or you need to be this. And since then, I've been walking into meeting rooms with guys and looking up at them, and, you know, it's just, it's part of the deal, man. I don't really think, if you play with leverage and quickness and if you're athletic and if you're halfway smart, then I think you can play the game. I think the size factor gets overplayed. You look at a guy like Casey Wiegman, who's no bigger than I am and has played very well for I think, going on 15, 16 years. So it's pretty impressive to see a guy that size doing it. And I take pride in it at this point. You know, I'm small, but I think I can get the job done.
Now, you mentioned no bigger than, about the same size as Casey Wiegman. I think you might be giving Casey maybe even 10-15 pounds. I mean, yeah. Is he even? I think you might finally have a line mate if you end up playing next to him at some point that you're actually bigger than.
I know it. Yeah, that'll be a first.
Yeah, we're talking with Ryan Lilja here in the program. Was there ever a time you thought that I might not be able to make it to the next level, or did you always feel like you belonged at each level? And then I think conversely, was the NFL always the goal for you?
No, to be honest with you, I never thought of this was a reality in college. You know, I wanted to get a scholarship. I really wanted to play for Bill Snyder and be a Wildcat, and that was kind of my goal. And I just thought that the NFL was not a reality for me, and, you know, I just, I tried to be the best I could in college. And then it turned out when I signed with the Chiefs and went up there for training camp, I started thinking, wow, you know, these guys are good, but they're not everything I've built up in my mind. I can maybe do this if I work hard enough. And it was kind of eye-opening experience. I'm looking at Brian Waters and Will Shields and obviously Casey, and I'm thinking, these are the best there is. And I can learn a lot from these guys, and maybe one day I could be as good as some of these guys. And so it kind of opened my eyes. But, no, I never thought playing in the league was a reality. And to be honest with you, at this point, I'm still happy to be here. I love my job, and I keep working at it like I was an undrafted guy. And that's probably the way it'll be until I'm done.
Last year, the Chiefs, one of the things Todd Haley did when he first came in was he focused very much on the conditioning part of things, which you talked about being one of the things you've got to be conscious of at your size. But he clearly, it was something he wanted everybody to be conscious of. And there was a big focus on how much weight the team had lost overall through the offseason program and up at training camp. And that included the offensive line. You know, a lot of teams will do stuff like that, but they'll kind of exclude the O-line because their philosophy is bigger is better. That's not the philosophy here. Did that make – were you aware of that, and did that make Kansas City a better fit for you?
Now, you know what, when they when this all started happening and they were showing some interest, and I thought there's not a whole lot of teams – there's probably 8 teams that I can play guard for in the league. There's probably 20, 25 teams I can play center for. And I kind of was thinking both options, and I wasn't sure about Kansas City. They talked with Bill Muir, their line coach, our offensive line coach, and it's kind of one of those things that if you can get it done, there's not a textbook height weight that we need to hit. So I think, at this point in my career, Saran, I played 6 years, and I started a lot of games, and I played some good opponents, and I just kind of said, hey, listen, if watch the film, and if I can block this guy, then make up your mind on that. I don't really want to come in and run 40s and vertical jumps and do all that stuff. I kind of felt like my resume was on film at this point. So to be honest with you, the subject of size never came up in any of my meetings with any of the coaches or front office people. And I respect that because, like I said, I some of the best players in the league are undersized, like Casey Wiegman's and the Jeff Saturdays and guys like that. They get it done no matter how tall they are. So
now we've got you added to the equation, Casey Wiegman added to the equation. There's still time in free agency. There's still the draft to come, so there could very well be more members of the offensive line that are brought in to compete for these spots. But there is definitely and last year was a year of change along the offensive line as a number of different guys started. Ultimately, you want what you had in Indianapolis and what the Chiefs had when you were here in Kansas City and they had for a number of years, and that's knowing the same 5 guys are going to step in there and play alongside each other. How important is that chemistry, playing game in, game out next to guys for being as much as for reaching the ultimate potential of what an offensive line can be?
Yeah, it's important. You can't really have guys coming and going and sliding in and out, and continuity is a big thing in our unit. And you look at, like you mentioned, some of the best offensive lines you think of, Kansas City being one of them. Several years ago, they had guys like Casey and Brian and Will. Those interior guys, I think they started the same. They started together, didn't miss a game. One of them for 5 years or something crazy like that. So, that's big. You got to communicate, and you're working right alongside of guys. And I don't know if people necessarily understand how much goes into the guys you play next to, and knowing who's there, and being able to count on them.
We're talking right now with Ryan Lilja, offensive guard for the Chiefs. You talk about starting games. 59 of your last 64 games, you've been on the field. Clearly, being healthy and maybe being able to play. I mean, nobody's healthy, really 100% healthy the last half of the year, maybe even earlier. But being physically ready to go and out on the field is a big part of the equation. What's the key to your success for why you've been able to play 59 of 64 games?
Well, I missed several games, and I've had surgeries and issues before, and it's tough. To be honest with you, I ask guys like Casey, what do you do to stay healthy for so many years in the trenches like that? And he just works tirelessly on every aspect of his health, as far as what he eats, his workout regimen, his stretching regimen, his treatment, his cold tubs, his all those little things that that you might not do, he takes advantage of them. I think that's a difference maker for guys like that.
No doubt. I've seen the guy doing sit-ups in the locker room when we're in interviewing guys. So, it speaks to managing your time and being committed to it. You've played in two Super Bowls. I think there's probably a confidence level that's gained by the team after that group of guys goes to its first Super Bowl. But that first one, 06, when you guys went to and beat the Chicago Bears, was there a point during the year where you felt like it had come together that, hey, this is a Super Bowl team?
To be honest with you, ever since I was there, the year I got there, I think they were in the AFC Championship game the year before. So it was a top quality team when I got there, and you could tell by the leadership in the locker room. And you had older veteran guys, Peyton Manning, Gary Brackett, Jeff Saturday, Dallas Clark, Dwight Freeney, those guys. And you had these leaders, and then they kind of set the tone for how things were done, on the practice field, in the locker room, on game day. And I think that continuity with that group of guys. It's kind of what contributes to your success year in and year out. You got the same guys working towards it, same guys are your leaders in your locker room, and I think every team kind of strives for that.
Ryan, before I let you go, we do a little thing called the Final Four, four quickies at the end of the interview, so I'll throw those at you. We'll start with, you mentioned playing for Bill Snyder. When was the last time you talked to Coach Snyder?
Last time I talked to Coach Snyder was probably last summer. It's been too long.
Yeah. Well, then I got that on you, because I talked to him a couple weeks ago. So,
good for you.
Yeah, I've got. I love talking to Coach Snyder. I've told people, he's so reserved and quiet. Sometimes people are, can maybe get lulled to sleep by him. But I say, you listen to what that guy says, and whether it's a radio interview or what have you, you're going to learn something from Bill Snyder. Class act and a tremendous football coach, to say the very least. All right, next one, and I suppose this could change by the time the season goes around, but right now here at KCChiefs.com, you're listed as number 65. Why 65?
65, that's what I wore my whole pro career. So I'm going to keep things going. I had a good run in Indy, and we won a lot of ball games, and I figured if I could, I would keep that number. So
was that the number? Didn't you have 61 your first go around here?
I had 61. Yeah, I had 61 here. I was 64 at K-State, and I was 65 in high school. So it really, to be honest with you, goes all the way back to the high school Shining Mission Northwest days.
All right, very good. One sentence: why Peyton Manning so good?
Nobody works harder.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I
assume there's gonna be something along those lines. All right, and finally, I think this is the most important one. Do you plan on challenging Brian Waters to a bench press competition?
Absolutely not. I want nothing to do with that. He's one of the most you know, just powerful, explosive, strong men that I've ever met, and you know, it shows on the field, and he's fun to watch.
Yeah, Eric Hicks once called him a bear. It was like going up against a bear in practice. I thought that was pretty good. Have you heard the total on what he's put up on the bar before?
I have not.
I've been told. Now he's kind of shy about this, or kind of subtle, and doesn't draw attention to it. I finally got a number to start with, and then I asked some other people. Well above 600.
Oh wow! Yeah, that's a ton, man. I you know, Jeff Saturdays, he's a middle 500 guy, but I've never played with anybody who was 600. He's a beast, man.
He is. He is a tank, and good guy as well, as
great guy.
Yeah, tributes a testament to his NFL Man of the Year this year. So
yeah.
Hey, Ryan, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it. It's great to have you back in town. Congratulations on coming home, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you in the future.
All right. Thanks, man.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angry, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job, and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Succop wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
In today's hectic world, it's hard enough to find time to manage all your commitments and still find time to pursue a higher education. But at Columbia College, we make it easier. Classes are just 8 weeks long, and you can earn your associate, bachelor's, or master's degree on campus, online, or both. Apply now to Columbia College in Kansas City at www.ccis.edu/about-time. That's www.ccis.edu/about-time.
Hey, Chiefs fans. I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. Great to be here, Josh.
We're here to tell you about all the new and exciting things going on at KCChiefs.com.
I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team, learn about the Chiefs cheerleaders, and much more.
Yeah, buddy.
That's not all. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365. Chiefs 365 is the place for Chiefs fans to interact, give feedback, and be connected with everything Chiefs.
Fan feedback? That is awesome. But Josh, I really want to buy a jersey.
At KCChiefs.com, you can do that too. The Chiefs Pro Shop is the best place on the web. Buy all of your favorite Chiefs gear, gifts, and much more.
Whoa, system overload.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at KCChiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs cheerleader squad in swimsuits shot in Red Hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
All right, welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro with you. Our thanks to Ryan Lilja, Chiefs guard, joining us in the Red Zone. Good to have one of the hometown guys back in town. Ryan Lilja, Chiefs guard with us, and should be a lot of fun watching him as he has played in 59 of the last 64 games. He figures to get a lot of action for the Chiefs and hopefully help solidify that offensive line, and could very well change how they approach the NFL draft. Able to get Casey Wiegman and Ryan Lilje on the offensive line in free agency maybe means a different position will be a priority in the NFL draft. We'll find out in hours. You can join us at the Chiefs Draft Day Party. All the information you need is right here at kcchiefs.com. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster. They're only $15 if you buy them in advance, $18 at the door, and VIP seating is available as well. Get everything started at 4 o'clock. Get the doors open at 4. Get everything started at 4:30. And go for about an hour after the Chiefs make their pick at pick number 5. So we'd love to see you at the Arrowhead practice facility. And, of course, the schedule is out. You can now see the order that the games are going to be played in. If you want tickets, Chiefs season tickets are available by calling 888-99-CHIEFS. That's 888-99-CHIEFS. Get one of the folks here at Arrowhead to break down everything, give you your the seats that are open, give you all the details you need. Just call 888-99-CHIEFS. Schedule looks like a good one, and I think the Chiefs are going to be disappointed if this isn't a winning season. A lot of people coming in with their projections, having the Chiefs not just at 500 but above 500. The schedule looks good. The stadium's going to look great. Get your tickets by calling 888-99-CHIEFS. I want to thank Brad Young and Curtis Siebel for all their help today. This is Seren Petro saying thank you very much for joining us here in the Red Zone.
You've been listening to The Red Zone with Seren Petro. Join us again next week for more discussion of your Kansas City Chiefs. This has been an exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com.